Dominic Lawton can be wild. Welcome to the Bad Movie Cult.
Hey Ken, do you know what time it is?
What time is it?
It's time for a bonus episode.
Oh wow.
Do you like how I did that? Just straight in?
Yeah, yeah. Didn't even know we were on. You know, we were on air.
Oh, my. Of course, we nearly cancelled the whole thing when I did a little bit of digging, but we'd already written the notes for the film, so we're pressing on.
It does sound ominous. I'm not aware of any of these notes. I am aware of the notes. I've done some. I'm not aware of any of the controversy.
This week, it's a fan-requested episode, I believe?
It was recommended by Karen Sangster, who you may remember gave us White Fire.
She of the White Fire.
She indeed. In the White Fire, White Fire, down and dancing Santa Fe, such a love affair. I said White Fire, White Fire, rolling like a thunderbolt, crashing through the wall. Got you. What was the other one we did?
Well, the she one,
Blood Delirium.
Oh yeah.
So there you go, a couple, two hits, and this is the miss. So you know, she was due one. In fairness, she's not even bothered to see this film yet.
No,
she saw it. Said this looks shit. Recommended it, and it was.
You've got that right. It's the 1988 Dominic Brasier film, Hard Rock Nightmare.
Some call him Lucifer. Some call him Satan. I call him Master. Creatures who live off human flesh do exist. Creatures who drink blood and can become wolves are real. Do you hear me? I'm gonna tell you a secret. I'm one of those creatures, and I eat little boys like you for dinner, and on a full moon, I become a wolf. Do you know what a werewolf is? Do you know what a vampire is?
Stop this! You're scaring the boy to death!
It's okay. Kids like to be scared. I'm gonna slip in your house and drink your blood. I'm a creature of the night.
Sometimes you're a total asshole.
And I'll come in your house and kill you and the whole family. I'm a vampire. I'm a vampire.
Dominic Brasier was also an actor.
Okay.
He played Joey in Friday the 13th Part 5, A New Beginning.
Oh, right, okay.
Do you know who I'm thinking of here?
No.
Big, fat, curly-headed fuck.
No.
I got a picture.
Okay. You ready, listeners?
This is just for Ken. And only Ken. This is not for your eyes, listeners.
Ah, yes. Yeah, I recognise the curly-haired fat fuck. Yeah, go on then. What's his beef?
He also has directed Evil Laugh. If you've ever heard of that.
What, from Space Mutiny? That evil laugh. Yes. and a life of its own.
The plot for that is a group of med students fix up an old house over a weekend. There's a mass murder occurred 10 years earlier. Mayhem ensues.
Nice.
His second film was called My Life as a Troll.
Mm-hmm.
The plot. That's the question comedian Louis Kappa wonders as he tells his childhood friends he is different. Can straight guys and gay guys really be friends? That's My Life as a Troll.
Okay.
And then he did Breaking the Cycle, which is a softcore gay film. Jason is addicted to internet chat rooms and is looking for his dream guy. Chad is looking a little closer to home.
Classic.
But of course, he's mainly known nowadays because it was him who accused Charlie Sheen of raping Corey Haim on a film set.
Okay.
He said it in an interview years after the death of Corey Haim. They asked Corey Haim's mum about it, and she said that it wasn't Charlie Sheen who raped her son. It was actually Dominic fucking Brassier.
Jesus Christ.
That was collaborated by someone else. Dominic Brassier died in 2018. I read one news article saying that he was also being looked at for another assault on an underage boy.
Oh.
That's according to a news article I read.
Well, it's a good job this film's shit then, isn't it? I don't feel bad about ripping into this.
I mean, we didn't really look at Jeepers Creepers for the same thing with the director of that, so now we've just wandered into Hard Rock Nightmare.
We wandered blindly into it, though. Blindly. I'll tell you what, I didn't know Corey Haim was dead. That's a shame, isn't it?
The plot, Ken.
Yeah, go on. Is there one?
We've lost it.
Yeah.
A child is convinced his grandfather is a monster and kills him.
Yeah.
Years later, he returns with his friends to the site of the killing. It appears to be his grandfather's revenge as one by one his friends are brutally murdered.
Brutal. Brutal indeed.
I don't know anyone who's in this film.
No, me neither.
Let's crack into it then.
Yeah, let's go for it.
It's alive! It's alive! It's alive!
We get a voiceover. Some call him Lucifer. Some call him Satan. I call him the director of this film. straight in. No, it's I call him Master. And it's some wild-eyed old fuck. He's shouting straight at us, straight at the camera.
Yeah, some old guy, isn't it? Yeah, he's very angry about something. Yeah, just telling us stories. Turns out he's trying to scare the kid.
Yeah, there's a kid just staring at him in disbelief.
Yeah, shock and awe.
Talking about eating little boys for dinner. Asking if he knows what werewolves and vampires are. He scares the kid a bit longer, calls the kid a pussy.
Yep.
Then heads off for a nap.
Yeah, he's a bit of a dick, isn't he, the old guy?
Well, we haven't got much time to ponder that, Ken, because...
No, I suppose, no.
He drifts off for a second, and whilst he's doing that, the kid comes up to him and stakes him through the heart with a bit of wood and a hammer.
Yeah, just hammers a wooden stake through his heart. He did tell him he was a vampire.
That's true.
You know, I mean, the kid, he's there. Do you know about werewolves and vampires? Obviously he does, because he knows exactly how to kill one.
Yeah.
Yeah, and luckily has some wooden stakes lying around his grandparents' house for just such an occasion.
He wakes up years later, 10 years later, I believe.
This is the boy, by the way. The granddad is dead.
Yeah.
He has been staked solidly through the heart.
Yeah, as again, his wife looks on.
Again, it is quite a powerful thing. You know, for a small child to be doing.
That kid's name is Jim.
Yeah.
And now he's probably 20, maybe.
Somewhere like that, yeah.
I don't know. We don't really know what age any of these people are.
But yeah, it's not important, I suppose.
He asks what time it is, and it's time to rehearse. Time to rehearse, come on, says the Kenby Wilde character of the film.
I fucking hated that guy.
So he's got hair like Buzz from Home Alone.
Shit, man, is that what I'm like?
And he's got
you're really hateable.
He's got like preposterous glasses on the man.
Yeah.
It's Paul.
It is, it's Paul, the apparently the manager of the group and I think it's a keyboard he seems to be dicking about with during the music. It looks like it. Anyway, he doesn't seem to be doing much. You can't really hear a keyboard in the band, but still, you know, he's doing something.
Well, that's not the first time we've witnessed that. it's tough being the bad boys, he says. And we find out, ridiculously, that this lot are in a rock band.
Yeah, they're called the Bad Boys,
by
the way.
Yeah, that gets unveiled later, and I wanted to kill everybody in the band, starting with me, when I heard that they called themselves that.
Yeah.
Speaking of them being in a rock band, let's play one of their hits. I'm not sure if it's these or Dragon Sound that have a harder time pretending to know how to play instruments. The drummer isn't even holding one of his drumsticks properly.
He does that all the way through the film and it pissed me off.
Yeah.
It's so irritating. He's just constantly spinning his drumsticks in his fingers.
And yes, air drumming.
Okay, yeah, you can do that. Well done. But you haven't got to be doing it all the time.
Yeah.
Idiot.
I put Paul looks like he's either practicing CPR or trying to get his dick out of his jeans to have a piss.
Yeah, that's him pretending to play the keyboard, isn't it? Yeah.
Jim's the lead singer. He's moving his leg side to side, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
The lead guitarist seems to be goose-stepping around the garage, and I'm pretty sure the bass player is already dead because he hasn't moved since the song started. And he's also 7 foot tall.
Yeah, I didn't notice that until the next bit where they're walking through the woods.
Yeah.
I actually wrote, how fucking tall is he? Yeah, I didn't notice that at the first bit.
I also, I think actually where I've put the bass player dead because he hasn't moved, I'm pretty sure I'm confusing him and the sound guy because they look the same. But the sound guy just stands on, you know, like your sound guys, you know, anyone in a band, you know, the guys that they're behind the scenes, they're making sure everything sounds all right. They're usually at the mixing desk at the back of the room or whatever. In Bad Boys, their sound guy just stands next to the drummer. Totally unmoving for some reason. And to top it all off, they're dressed like Cynthia Rothrock's Asian gangmates in Undefeatable.
Yeah, the Bad Boys. Leather jackets.
Leather jackets, ice blue jeans.
Exactly. It was the 80s.
The Door to the Garage. What did you think to this song, by the way?
It was all right. You know?
Fuck off. I used to move my penthouse around so the band could rehearse. Dad would split to his workshop. Mom would crash out there. The Door to the Garage opens behind them.
Wait 1 second. There's a credit.
Oh, of course there is,
there's
yeah.
a credit, and it's an and, as, and you'll never guess who it is, and you'll never guess the character name.
That's true.
And here we go. It's and Troy Donahue as Uncle Gary. Yeah, you remember Troy Donahue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Anyway, that's who's in this as Uncle Gary.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that come up, I thought, I won't write it because Ken's definitely got it.
Yeah, welcome back, Troy.
The door to the garage opens behind them and they spill out into the driveway. There's three girls that stop to wolf whistle at them.
Yeah, they're just walking past, but the sounds of the Bad Boys is enough to make them stop in their tracks and have a good old listen.
Yeah, so remember I was saying that they're dressed leather jackets, ice blue jeans. The lead guitarist, he has a red bandana tied around his upper thigh like a woman who wears a garter belt on a wedding day. He's got one of them on for some reason. Got some lyrics for you, Ken.
Oh, brilliant.
It's a nightmare, a hard rock nightmare. Mom and Dad,
yeah.
I know you don't understand, but I've got to go. Got to go make myself a man.
A sandwich. I thought what you were going
to
say.
I can't get away. I've got to shine. I've got a hard rock nightmare in my mind.
That's incredible. That's a good name for a film.
Hard Rock Nightmare?
No.
Oh.
Mom and Dad. Which actually is a film.
Yeah.
So, okay, then that's pretty hardcore, isn't it? That.
There's, you know,
that's proper punk rock music against the system, the mum and dad. They don't understand. Don't you see?
I mean, you know, how many punk rock lyrics have I've got to shine, got to make myself a man, and mum and dad in it?
Yeah.
All of them.
Yeah, most of them.
Most of the Sex Pistols stuff did.
Definitely.
Thankfully, the hard rock police turn up to shut this shit down.
Yeah. Yeah. and just tell him just to shut up. How many bloody times have we got to come round here telling you to just knock that shit off?
Yeah, and Paul says, oh, come on, officer. All we're doing is rehearsing our tunes.
Yeah, they spray him in the face with pepper spray and beat him to a pulp.
Yeah.
Rightly so.
That's the third complaint this week. One more time and you're busted.
Ooh.
And the guitarist says, but officer, we're a band. We need to rehearse. He's saying that whilst slowly inching off his bandana garter belt in front of them. All sexy-like.
Yeah. Sound guy's not noticed. He's still stood there by the drums.
Yeah, with his headphones on. The police leave and the band are left to wonder, where are they going to practice now?
I'll tell you where. Grandma's.
Well, someone says, what about your house? And Paul, with his seems to be his catchphrase, says, what a fab idea. Fab.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jim does finally stop them spitballing ideas, which is a good job, seeing as one of the guys says, oh, maybe we can practice in my van. And I thought maybe that was the director saying that.
Oh, dear.
Jim says, guys, I've got a plan. Cut to a poster of the band members, back to back, all wearing exactly what they are now.
Yeah. It's a good poster, isn't it?
Yeah.
That'll get you going to the gigs.
Yeah, and Bad Boys just plastered over the top of them, isn't
it? Oh, yeah.
God. Speaking of Paul, he isn't happy. He just wants this to be a fabulous, groovy weekend, is the words he uses. That's the second time Paul has used the word fabulous in as many minutes.
Yeah.
He's not happy because the other band members are bringing sexy chicks with them.
That's right, yes. Jim's bringing... Is it Sally?
Sally! Yeah.
Yeah, his girlfriend. And she's bringing a friend called Tina.
Yeah.
Who's a total slut.
Yeah, well, you can tell by the music. And the first thing you see of Tina is her arse in a skirt, and she's walking towards the camper van they're all leaving in.
Yeah, they're leaving in a big old RV. Borrowed, of course, from Uncle Gary.
Yeah.
It's Uncle Gary, played by Troy Donahue.
Whee!
Hey, welcome back, Troy.
Uncle Gary's questioning the sanity of his nephew, Jim. And Jim says, it's been 10 years, Uncle Gary. My friends and I need to go somewhere we can practice and make as much noise as we want.
Yeah, and the place I killed my granddad is ideal.
I wonder how your grandma would feel if she knew you were turning the farm she left you into a house for wayward rock stars. Looking at the band behind him, fuck me.
Yeah, that just gives us a little bit of insight there that although Jim did kill her husband, she left him the house in her will, which is a nice touch, nice.
Uncle Gary's got a mate with him. Is it Derek or Dirk?
That's his son.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's his son. Oh, yeah, Jesus. That's Jim's cousin. I think it's Dirk.
Dirk. He's been standing behind Uncle Gary this whole time. He chimes in with, my favourite band is the Partridge Family. And he's immediately told to shut up by Uncle Gary.
It would have been better if he just backhanded him. You don't get many kids called Dirk these days.
No.
Do you?
No.
Not as popular as it used to be.
My note is, uh-oh, we've got a disabled person for comic relief, like in Leprechaun. Because he's slow, isn't he, this guy?
Well, thankfully, we don't get to see much of Dirk.
No, this is already too much. He's already been overexposed, if you excuse the imagery.
I don't mean the director again.
Jim, do you know what you're doing?
Uncle Gary, it's been over 10 years. My friends and I need a place to relax and practice where we can make as much noise as possible. Hey, Grandma would have loved the idea.
I wonder what your grandmother would have thought if she knew that you were turning the farm she left you into a home for wayward rock stars.
My favorite group's the Partridge Family.
Shut up, Dirk.
Oh, sorry, Mr.
Ernst. The drummer and possibly someone's actual dad try to outage each other next. The one who's trying to be the actual dad is the sound guy called Tim. I can't remember what the hell the drummer's called. I've only referred to him as the drummer for the whole fucking thing.
I don't know. No. I don't know what half of them were called.
Yeah, you don't find out until way later for any of them, really. They're talking about the maps they'll be using. The drummer heads out to the camper van. He has a little gawk at Tina. Tina looks sort of mid-20s, mid to late 20s. Not sure why she's hanging around with a band of children, but there we go.
Not sure, really. She's friends with Sally.
Yeah, Sally's sort of looks progressively worse throughout the film. Yeah. Starts off looking quite young and fresh-faced at the beginning. don't know how long it took him to film this, but by the end, she's about 45, I think. The drummer tries to flirt with Tina, tells her if there's anything she needs just to let him know, and she says, there is. Could you tell me all you know about Charlie, whoever the fuck that is?
Charlie's the guitarist.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
That's him.
Yeah, apparently.
We get to laugh at the disabled henchman more. I said the disabled henchman, what is he? His son.
Dirk.
Even better.
Yeah. It's his cousin, isn't it?
Yeah. It's what he's done is he's forgot what a limo is.
Oh, dear.
Who else but Dirk?
Classic Dirk.
Uncle Gary tells Jim that he worries about him, and if there's any problems at all up at the farm, to contact the greatest named character not appearing in the film. It's Ranger Baxter. That's a great name. Who would play Ranger Baxter? I was picturing Paul Rubens.
Yeah, when 1988?
Mm.
No, he's too busy, wasn't he?
Yeah. Someone gets their dick referred to as Pee-wee in this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dick talk in this.
Yeah, all within the space of like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like incessant talk about penises.
Yeah, I mean, with the knowledge of the director and his, let's call it exploits, some of the scenes in this make a lot more sense.
Mm.
If indeed they are true.
Nice.
Mind you, he's dead, isn't he? So you can, it doesn't matter, does it?
Don't know. What about his family?
What about him?
I don't know.
His guitar.
That's enough legal talk.
Charlie, the guitarist, laughs in the uncle's face for showing concern about a family member, Jim.
Quite right, too.
So why the hell's this guy on your back?
Yeah, that's because that's Charlie. He's a rebel. He's a loner.
Yeah, except for all of his mates.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they head on the open road to a kick-ass tune. Paul tells the rest of the band on the bus that they need a gimmick in order to stick out and suggests mop-top wigs like the Beatles. I think maybe group suicide, Ken. What do you reckon?
Yeah, the sooner the better. Yeah, I'd have suggested that and then ploughed the RV straight at
us. Oh.
Everyone else. Then just straight into a wall.
Yeah. Who's driving, by the way? You don't see.
I have no fucking clue.
Everyone who's in the film is in the back.
I've actually written who the fuck was driving that.
Yeah. Because they're driving for about 6 days, I think.
Yeah, yeah, and the whole band are in the back.
It goes day to night at least 4 or 5 times. It's like, oh, fucking fuck. This is where they're going to go to practice, is it?
Yeah.
If fancy going to practice, we need to take a week off work. Fucking hell. The guitarist, for some reason, takes sole credit for coming up with the name The Bad Boys. I don't know why you'd fucking take credit for that. And Paul tells him it sounds like a gay porno movie. And with that being said, let's go over to our resident expert on the topic, Ken B. Wilde. Ken, does it?
Well, there's actually several films called Bad Boys. I'm not sure how many of them are gay porn. Maybe I don't know many of them. But there was Bad Boys, I believe was a young Borstal penitentiary starring Sean Penn.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
And obviously face slapper Will Smith and his good friend, the other guy.
Not Will Smith, yeah. Well, yeah. Just looking those up, Bad Boys, the first one with Will Smith and his mate, that was a sort of an action film. The second one was pornography. The third was a musical.
What, of the Bad Boys trilogy?
Yeah, I believe that's the way it breaks down, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Well, maybe the second one's a musical, because that seems to be the new thing, doesn't it?
Make the second film a musical. That can fuck right off, that.
Talking about the Joker?
Yeah, that can fuck off.
Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
Is it Madame Gaga, is that her name?
Madame Gaga, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a load of rubbish. What the fuck? Nothing talks seriously about mental health and a descent into insanity than a bit of a musical.
Than a musical number. I don't know, it works well in this.
That was just for the viewer.
Yeah. Also, you see like an outside, to show the passage of time we see the outside of the bus, and their poster is on the outside of the camper van.
Yeah.
It's on the side there.
Yeah, so everyone can see. Look, oh my God, it's the Bad Boys.
My God, that's their song, Hard Rock Nightmare.
That's what they say when they drive past.
Terrible. Jim, meanwhile, asks who the blonde is, and he gets told by Charlie that his girlfriend Sally invited her, and we find out that Sally is Jim's girlfriend at this point, because I didn't know. No. I don't think you do know,
no,
do you?
No.
So I put, at least I know the names of four people so far in this film, and we've met about 20.
Well, in my notes, I refer to Jim as Charlie all the way up until in exclamation. Oh, there it is. Yeah, after the dream.
Oh, right.
We're about to have a dream, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's only after that bit that I thought, oh, hang on a minute, he's not called Charlie. Who the fuck's Charlie then?
Well, Charlie, of course, as we know, is the drummer, and we find out now...
He's the guitarist.
Oh, shit, yeah.
See? See how difficult this is.
It's the drummer who's kissing Tina on the couch there, and she's just staring at Charlie, unblinking through the whole kissing scene.
Yeah. It's a bit weird, to be honest.
Later on at night, but still in the van, Tina asks the drummer how big his dick is.
Hmm. He's twiddling his stick, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He does it the whole fucking film, the bastard.
Stick twiddler.
Good name for a character. Enough of that scene, on to the next one. Tina's flirting with Paul and gives him a little kiss, and he won't stop talking, Paul. He's very nervous, obviously.
He is, obviously, yeah.
It's the dad's turn, the sound technician, called Tim. Paul tells Charlie that Tina is trying to get with Charlie. No, she's trying to get Charlie interested in her by fucking everyone else on the bus, I believe.
I think that's how you do it.
Women of the Bad Movie Cult. This is very dependent on the guy you're after. You see, it's not a foolproof plan. Some guys just don't want to have sex with you if they've just stood there and watched you have sex with all of their mates, one after the other. Just a quick tip for you there. Bad movie tip.
In fairness, she's not actually having sex with them all, because like that's disgusting. Isn't it? They're all in the same van for a start. They can all see each other.
Yeah, the smell in there.
That's not what they're doing.
There's no windows open.
No, it is merely smooching.
Charlie says, I'm going to ignore her until she begs for it. And Paul says, oh my God, Charlie, you're so hip.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, let's fuck all this off. Let's get back to what the film's supposed to be about. Grandpa.
Well, I did make the note that we're 20 minutes into the film and we're still in the bastard camper van.
Yeah.
Jim has a nightmare about his granddad.
A hard rock nightmare.
Oh my God.
No, there's not much hard rock in this one.
He's like a floating head in some mist, basically. It's very scary.
A bit like in Troll 2.
Yeah.
A bit like that.
Like the grandpa in the mirror. Yeah. And a few of the band turn into, I'm guessing, vampires?
I think so. They've got those like really cheap... fake fangs in, haven't they?
Yeah.
They're too big for your face, so they can't close their mouth properly. Yeah, I think that's what they're all doing. Yeah, and they're all coming at him.
Yeah, and he's sort of backing up down the back of the camper van. He wakes up and Sally consoles him. The acting here, Ken, it's fucking top-notch, isn't it?
It seems so real.
Jimmy, you okay? You're okay?
You're all dead. You're all undead. You're all trying to kill me.
But calm down, it's over now, honey.
Oh, it seems so real.
Sally tells the rest of the groupies and his bandmates to keep Jim's feelings in mind over the next few days. Let's make this a really fun atmosphere for Jim.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Finally, they get out the fucking camper van. And then they have to hike the rest of the way. You know these farms and how inaccessible they all are.
Yeah.
And not only that, this takes all day.
Yeah.
It's like sun up when they get out of the camper van.
Yeah, I have no idea how far away they've parked. It turns out they've just driven back home and they've walked from their house.
I said they've been driving for 4 days, now they've got to hike with all of their kit.
For another day.
For another full day, because by the time they get to the farm, it's night.
I tell you what, they'd be better off if they had just rehearsed in these vans. At least they'd be finished and gone home again.
I know. What kind of place where you need 5 days just to get to it? Just to rehearse? Fuck me. They leave...
There's no paths either, because they're just walking through the woods.
Just through the woods?
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It's just inaccessible. Totally useless.
What were they farming there?
Vampires?
Vampire farm. Good name for a film pitch.
Werewolves.
Werewolves.
Ranch.
Werewolf ranch. They all head off and they leave Paul asleep in the van, like home alone.
Yeah, he's still twiddling his stick, the drummer, by the way, he's walking through the woods.
I like how no one goes back for Paul, by the way.
Yeah, this is also where how fucking tall is that guy?
Yeah, he's like
walking with his girlfriend, who's actually the smallest person in the film.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's his girlfriend.
We get a quick shot of Uncle Gary asking Ranger Baxter to check on Jim, only to find out he's at a wedding, so he won't be back until Monday.
It's his sister's wedding.
Yeah.
That's nice, isn't it?
It's actually his as well, which is a scary thing.
Yeah, so he can't check in on him. So that's disappointing for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's the only ranger in the woods, because when they go to the ranger thing later, it's totally empty. This structure is fab, says Paul, when they finally get to the farm. I mean, I was under the impression this has been abandoned for years. But all the lights are on and shit when they get there.
Yeah, surprises. They're full of bloody candles with these sort of films. Candles lit usually, aren't they?
I actually put, you would assume Paul would have been the first one killed since he was left back in the van. So what's the point of leaving him and doing that whole waking up, guys, where are you thing if he's not going to be the one that's first killed?
I don't know.
Demon Wind vibes now with Jim freaking out as soon as he sees the place. Like, or whatever that fuck his name was.
Corey, I think.
That's him, yeah, with his fucking alien head.
Yeah, that's him.
Let's check out the fridge, says one of them, even though it's been abandoned for years. But never mind that shit, though. It's time for some more Bad Boys music.
Yes, it's another full song.
It is a full fucking song. We're getting treated.
Second one. Looking in the shadows, dimness of night, plotting evil strategies, making wrong out of right. With the sound of lions roar, and trusting in not in it, and waging a war. It's not in secret, you're gonna reap it. The seed been planted, and in time it's gonna tell on you. It's gonna tell on you.
And through all this, we've got Paul the keyboardist just waving at the sound guy for the whole song. The bass player, I think, is cramping both legs. The drummer changes rhythm and pace at least 3 times, but his arms are always the same fucking speed.
And he's spinning his sticks.
Yeah, and he's on the same part of the kit through the whole fucking thing.
Who brought this kit?
Not me.
Because he was just walking, twiddling his stick, so he wasn't carrying a fucking full set of drums. It's unlikely grandma's got a bloody drum kit stashed away at the farm.
The singer looks like he's trying to force a shit out, and the guitarist seems to be just laughing uncontrollably through the whole
really,
song.
Really, I didn't even notice Charlie laughing. I didn't think he smiled at all in this film.
Yeah, I think he's...
He's just like mean and moody all the way through.
I think it's because he's doing a solo, so he's trying to look like Jimmy Page or something, but he's just
laughing. Jimmy Page notoriously laughs throughout all of his solos.
Well, he used to pull a face, didn't he? You know, like he was in pain when he used to do... But I think what Charlie's gone for here is like just literally throwing his head back laughing through the whole thing. Anyway, this hard rock nightmare seems to be stirring something in the woods. But we don't get to find out, as the director seems to think we want to see more of this Tina-Charlie love bollocks.
Yeah. Somebody says Charlie's great with the ladies. Which he's not is at all. He's just staring at them. Is that what that is? Is that how you be great with the ladies? You go the mean, mysterious, charismatic character.
Yeah, I think
looking
so.
Into the distance and maybe walking outside on your own, just with a drink on your own, just looking out. You've got things on your mind.
Mm.
Women want to know what it is you're thinking about. They'll follow you out there. Yeah. So I used to do it. I was outside on my own all night. Nobody came out. I was freezing.
When we cut back to Charlie, he's just topless at a very sort of odd angle. It looks like he's just hanging off the edge of the bed, just totally like horizontal. But we get some great dialogue between him and Tina, and then he ends up leaving. Tim, the sound guy, scoops her up. Head over to Sally and Jim. Jim seems to have turned into an English gent. Keeps saying, yes, my dear.
Yeah, he's made a sexy mixtape, hasn't he, for Sally.
I thought we were about to have an Evil Dead moment there, you know, because Jim says, I've got a gift for you. So I was like, oh, is he giving it like a pendant or something like an Evil Dead? But no.
It does try and be Evil Dead, doesn't it?
It does a bit, yeah. But no, it is a mixtape and written on the tape. Did you see what was written on the tape?
No.
It was, the tape's called Sally's Song.
Oh, it's just one song.
Yeah.
It's a very short tape, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a
waste. Or it's a really long song.
Yeah, but it does seem quite long. So he's written a song for her.
It's 45 minutes long. and then there's an instrumental version on the other side.
Yeah, I was going to say flip it over. They slowly walk up to each other. This is very sexy, this bit.
Okay.
He tries undoing her top button. She says no, so he kisses her on the forehead. That's the end of the scene.
Nice. It's a lovely song, though.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I think is it Bad Boys? Is it them?
It's the Bad Boys. It's just him.
Is it just him? It's solo. Solo's slow song.
Yeah, here. This is for you. I really worked hard on this. I hope you like it. So close to you, there's no misunderstanding, nothing clouds our view, there's no need for questions, because I know that your heart is right. And people tell me we're destined, but I don't know what's wrong or right. Tell me, girl, oh, 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 I don't know what to do.
We've got songs. Hard Rock Nightmare, something to do with planting seeds, and Sally's Song, the three main ones for them.
That's nice.
We cut away to show the passage of time, and back to them in bed. Phone rings. Jim gets up to answer it. He's topless, but he's still in his red jeans, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
He seems shocked at whoever's on the phone. We don't get to hear any of it. It's just him. And it turns out it's his grandpa that he's talking to. Sally says that she's worried about him being up here. And Jim says he's off for a walk in the woods alone. She says, great, have fun. And off he goes.
Yeah, he does on the phone, he does say, Grandpa, a full moon? Don't kill me. And Sally's like, who was that? Yeah. Yeah, that's his phone conversation, just to keep us reminded of the, you know, it's supposed to be a horror film.
Anyway, Tim is trying to get Tina to suck his dick.
Yep, out in the woods.
Yeah, she says no, ends up giving him an old-fashioned.
Yeah, only a hand job session.
Hand job session, yeah. Who was this film aimed at?
Nobody, I don't think.
It's quite like juvenile with the songs and the characters and the way they act, but then they're talking about sucking dick and handjob sessions.
I don't know.
It's not aimed at me. Is it aimed at you?
No, pretty sure no.
Tim forgets her name and Tina's unhappy with that, so she leaves. Tim's not happy, saying all he wanted was a little head, and as soon as he says that, his actual head is knocked clean off his shoulders.
By a werewolf. We get to see the face of a werewolf.
Yeah, I thought originally it was a leprechaun, Warwick Davis.
It does look a bit like it, yeah. It's just the face, isn't it? Very close up with the glowing yellow eyes.
Yeah, but no, it is. It's a werewolf. They eventually do find the headless body because Tina runs into Jim. And they said, I swear I just heard Tim screaming. And I was like, me too, let's go and have a look. Tina finds Tim's body. Runs into Jim's arms, and one of my favourite lines of the film here, as he looks out into the distance and says, Grandpa, what have you done?
Yeah. He then goes to raise the alarm. which is a triangle.
Yeah, it's like the food bell, isn't
it? Yeah, he's not ringing the triangle alarm. And everyone seems to think, we best assemble.
Yeah, they all come running.
As though they'd had a health and safety meeting beforehand. Yeah. Said if anyone rings the triangle, it's trouble.
Oh my God, he's dead. Who's dead? I don't know, his head's missing, says Paul, for the amusement of no one. Everyone takes it in turns to say a line, and Charlie asks Jim what happened. He defers to Tina, who tells them that they were fooling around, she got mad and left. He must have tripped and decapitated himself.
It happens. Yeah. You be careful out in the woods.
Jim tells them all that a wolf did it.
A werewolf.
He says his grandpa was a very evil man, and it was him that did this. He starts shouting like an absolute nutcase, and Charlie has to calm him down.
Yeah, he says, Charlie, you're my best friend. You gotta believe me.
Yeah.
He's like, all right then, yes, that seems reasonable.
Charlie tells Sally to take Jim home, and he and the rest of the band go looking for Tim's head. I don't think they ever find it, do they?
I couldn't care less.
Wait, this is no accident. Tim was murdered. A wolf did it.
Wolf, are you nuts?
That is not funny, dude.
A what? What did he say? Come on, Jim, let's go back to the house.
No, listen to me. It's very hard to understand this, but I know all about this stuff. My grandfather was a very evil man, and he killed Tim.
Jim, calm down.
No, can you listen to me? We're all in danger! We're all in danger!
I think Jim is losing it.
Listen, every full moon...
Jim, stop it!
Stop it!
Tina says, I feel bad for letting him drink so much. Like, you know, because she still thinks must have fallen.
Decapitated his head clean.
Have fucking known him a day?
Yeah.
Or however long they've been in the bloody van,
about a week, to be fair. Back at the farm, the phone isn't working. They were trying to ring the police or maybe a Ranger Baxter. the bass player, he tried it. He tried his best, he says, but he just couldn't get it working. And Jim turns up again, shouting at everyone.
Yeah, he's saying, look, it's midnight. We've only 6 or 7 hours before day. We've got to stay inside.
Yeah, it's like, what else are we going to do? We're all going to be in bed, aren't we? Just so shortly. Yeah. We wake up about 8 a.m. That's fine. That's 8 hours. We've done it.
Yeah.
He says a werewolf killed Tim. They all laugh at him. Says he saw it, a big wolf up on two legs. It was 100 feet away from him. No one believes him, of course. Jim tells him his dead grandfather called him, which really makes them not believe him.
Yeah, a nice one, Jim.
And eventually says, well, maybe I'm just mental then. And Charlie tells Sally, take Jim to his room.
And sedate him.
Yeah. There's a mention of Jason Voorhees.
It's because they said about nobody believes in werewolves and vampires anymore. If you told me it was a guy in a hockey mask, then I'd be scared.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he was in Friday the 13th. They mention it again later
they
on,
do,
don't
yeah.
they? Yeah, and I was because I was actually wrote down, well, you fuck off mentioning better films.
Yeah.
Didn't realize.
Charlie gives us Jim's backstory about...
Actually, they also say it's hard to kill a vampire. They actually use hard to kill, so they mention that film as well.
Yes.
Not sure if that was an intentional nod to the film. I'm pretty sure it wasn't. But
well, there is a lot of people looking at people's dicks.
Exactly, so
yeah.
Maybe. Maybe our old LeBrock has got something to do with it.
Please wake up.
Charlie gives us Jim's backstory about temporary insanity when he staked his grandpa through the heart. Sally joins in saying, Jim has been getting psychiatric help for the last 12 years. If they knew this, why the fuck would they let him go to the farm again anyway?
I like it when Charlie says, look, Jim killed his granddad, but we're his friends. And you're like, yeah!
Yes, that makes sense.
Yeah, who cares then?
They hear a wolf howl outside. Charlie says, with the phone not working, they've got two choices.
I like that because they actually says, right, what time are the cops getting here? He's like, well, no, the phone's broke. They're like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like they'd all forgotten. Reckon... It's like they were all in the room and everyone said, oh, the phone doesn't work. He's like, right, what time are the police here? Yeah, and he's like, oh, shit. Okay, then yes, yeah, all right, forgot that bit.
With the wolf howling, do you reckon it's the horny wolves themselves out there?
The twin dragons.
On the prowl.
I think it probably is.
Bastards. Yeah, they have two choices with the phone not working. There's a CB radio in the camper van, which is a day's hike, if you remember. Or there's a ranger station 5 miles away. If you want to walk 5 miles, it's between an hour and five or an hour and 40 minutes. It takes the average person to walk 5 miles.
Okay, nice one.
Tina gets up, saying she's heading for the ranger station.
So how fucking far away is the van?
Full fucking day, I told you.
If it takes an hour and a half to go 5 miles, and they took about 8 hours to walk from the van. That's a long hike, isn't it?
Yeah. Sorry, Tina says that she's going to the ranger station. The bass player says, no, no, you stay here and rest. I'll go and I'll take the missus here. Just said, oh yeah, by the way, we'll go out and go to the dangerous route through the fucking forest.
Girlfriend's like, what?
Exactly. Tina says that the only other person out there with us was Jim, throwing him immediately under suspicion about Tim's death, and that's why she refuses to stay in the house with him. And then she said, not to mention him shouting about werewolves and having already killed a person in his past, which is fair enough. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you see, she's not one of his friends, so she doesn't just accept that and sweep it under the carpet, forget all about it.
Yeah.
You know, so she's actually raising legitimate concerns, but they're his friends, so, you know, screw that shit.
Yeah. The bass player changes the plan. He says, actually, me and my girlfriend, we'll head to the motorhome. We'll be back with help. Not sure why there isn't more of them that go. It's just two of them, but whatever.
Why don't they just all go?
Well, yeah, exactly. Why are they all waiting around?
If they're going to go and, like, drive away to get help, why don't they all go and all drive away?
Safety in numbers.
Exactly. Obviously, that would be the end of the film. Take another 6 hours to get to the camper and then just leave.
Yeah. Sally asks about the ranger station, and Paul and the drummer volunteer for that. That leaves Charlie, Jim and Sally at the farm. No prizes for guessing which group will be alive last.
And there's another howl, isn't there? Another howl in the dark.
Yeah.
And Charlie beautifully says to Paul, we need you. The band needs you. Be careful. It's lovely. Yeah. A lovely moment.
Gives him a baseball bat. Didn't give the bass player fucking anything.
No. The drummer's got his stick, so he'll be all right.
Yeah. First up to die anyway is the bass player and his girlfriend. They're already shouting at each other to shut up.
Fucking stopping.
Yeah.
They keep stopping as well. Like, they just, like, keep stopping to have little shit bits of dialogue that are
about drugs.
Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they are, it's like, you're against the clock here.
Yeah.
But no, they just keep stopping, idiots.
Yeah, they have another break to talk about sex and smoke some weed. My note is, aren't they supposed to be hurrying?
Exactly, yeah. You've got the wolf watching as well, by the way. We keep seeing the close-up of the wolf. I think it's the same footage as the previous time we saw it.
Yeah, the hand on the tree trunk and stuff.
Yeah, very poor.
The girlfriend, we find out, is called Connie, and she decides that now is the time for some sexy sex.
They roll a marijuana joint, don't they?
Yes.
They get a spliff.
God, this is so much better than the back of my van, says the drummer, the bassist, who won't shut the fuck up about his van.
It must be a big van. He's probably why it's more comfortable.
That's true.
Yeah, because his legs would be stuck out the window and everything, wouldn't it?
And she agrees by saying, boinking by moonlight.
Yeah, I've got that, yeah.
Yeah, that was your solo album, wasn't it?
It was indeed. That was my mixtape. Sally's song was on that, I think.
Are you sure you know where we're going?
I wish you would stop complaining.
Connie, you don't really think Jim is crazy, do you?
Yeah, Jim isn't nuts. Look, if he says his grandfather's a werewolf, I believe him.
You mean like the one in the movies?
Maybe Jim is nuts.
Tina is trying to do some boinking herself as she invites Charlie up to her room in the house. Sally interrupts to tell him that Jim isn't in his room. Oh my God.
Jim! Jim!
Oh, Jim!
Listen to me.
The sex is done, by the way. We head back to the weed-smoking couple.
Thank goodness we didn't have to sit through that.
Yeah, but unfortunately, we've got to sit through this because
God, yeah. You know when people are like off their face, they'll tell you all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so stoned.
Yeah.
And then they laugh at nothing, and then they keep laughing at nothing, and then everything's shit. You know, because people can't actually act drunk or stoned properly.
Yeah, and they're saying some bollocks about Gilligan's Island and Lost in Space, and this lasts forever.
Far too long.
Thankfully, they are brutally murdered.
Yeah, by that big dog. Look at the big dog. Ugh. Oh, look at the big dog. And then she goes, I'm going to go and feed it. It's a fucking wolf.
Yeah.
It's a werewolf.
So, on its hind legs.
And it's quite obviously a werewolf, but they're so stoned, man.
I've seen people that are stoned, and no one acts like this, ever. She goes up to it, the werewolf grabs her by her throat, lifts her up, and fucking karate chops her head into pieces, I think. We don't see it.
Yeah, but we don't get to see that. Meanwhile, he's still just sat there.
Well, he's so stoned that he starts wiping her blood off him and tasting it, not knowing what it is. That's how stoned he is.
Yeah, that's how...
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Close up of the werewolf paws as the bass player is finally killed.
Again, off screen. It cuts, doesn't it? We just get to see the the claws of the werewolf, like one at a time, just rapid fire.
Yeah.
It's quite shit.
Wow, this is so meaningful, Connie. I'm so stoned. I mean, we shouldn't have smoked so much.
It's okay, we're not trying.
Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. Look at that over there.
I can hardly see, I'm so bad.
Oh, look at the big dog.
He's probably hungry.
Oh,
here, where's the candy bar? I'm gonna feed it.
Here it is. Hey, but be careful, Connie. Don't get fleas.
Charlie goes into Tina's room. She sees what she's been writing on her typewriter. Some sort of review of the Bad Boys. What do you think to this, Ken?
Trilogy. Yeah, she said the third film is totally unnecessary. More nostalgia trip than anything else. They'd be past their prime, but they still try their best.
Yeah.
And hasn't Martin Lawrence got a fat neck? That's what she's written.
Do you agree with what she says, though? I've got it written here.
Sorry, no, that's right. She's writing a review on the band, The Bad Boys. Yeah. That's right, yeah.
I've got it written here, Ken. She says, The Bad Boys are one of the most original hard rock bands to come along in years.
Wow.
That lead guitarist, Charlie, is hotter than Jagger and sexier than David Lee Roth. You know, the one that's like possibly an android.
Yeah.
Him.
David Lee Roth's an android.
It would make sense. Have you ever seen him eat or drink anything?
No, but I know he did sign a guitar for Uncle Derek. Oh, no, Daddy Derek.
Oh, he did, yeah, you're right.
Didn't he? So, you know, he's not all bad.
That's true. Do you agree with that? Are they the most original hard rock band to come along in years?
No, not with Dragon Sound playing in Miami.
That's true.
Yeah, I mean, surely they're the biggest. Oh, they're in Florida. Were they in Florida? They were, weren't they?
They just had a connection to Miami,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
She says that the rest of the band are average and he is the main star. She has friends in the music business who could launch his career, such as her cousin who's a writer for a music magazine.
Yeah, this is she hasn't written all of this, by the way. This is now dialogue. She's telling Charlie that.
Yeah. You see, Ken, that's why she was sucking off the sound guy on the tour bus.
Oh, right, so she could make Charlie a star.
That makes sense now, doesn't it?
Yes, I get it.
She gets her tits out anyway, Tina.
Yeah, it's fair enough, isn't it?
We cut to Sally and Jim, because no one wants to see that. It's more of these two.
Yeah, it's good because Charlie, having made her beg now, actually pretty much just begs her.
Yeah.
Now that he thinks, actually, my career might improve here. Maybe I will have some sex with this filthy tramp. And in the corner is a filthy tramp, a little homeless man. He's been squatting in grandma's house.
Yeah, the singing hobo from Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah,
they do have sex, and Tina isn't impressed with Charlie. She says that that's the worst sex I've ever had.
Yeah, because he's like, oh, that was great.
Yeah, and I like he was like, well, I did my best.
And then for like about 3 minutes, She's incessantly taking the piss out of his sexual prowess, his penis, and just that again and again and again.
Thank God I got you at your best, says Tina. She says, have you ever thought about getting a penis transplant?
Yeah.
And he replies, quick as a flash, with, yeah, well, you're probably a lesbian.
Nice one.
Yeah. Show her.
Yeah, because that's what lesbians do, isn't it?
Penis transplants.
Having sex with as many men as they can.
Yeah.
Bloody lesbians. To their tricks.
She said, well, if all men were as bad in bed as you, I just might be.
Oh.
She tells him to get out of her room and forget about any help with his career. He's not worth it.
She's a bastard, isn't she, Tina?
Is that subverting the gender stereotypes, Ken? Telling him all that he wants to hear, having sex with him and then fucking him off?
I don't know. I guess so.
It's quite progressive, isn't it?
Do you think that's what it is?
Seems like it.
Oh, right. I just thought she was a prick.
Yeah.
Is that what surely they were supposed to? Is that what women think of men in these films?
I think that's what women think of men in general.
Oh, well, yeah, obviously. That's because that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's just what we are.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you don't get them just telling them that they're shit at sex after the event, do you?
Men. No, that's a very woman thing, isn't
it? Yeah, men don't do that. Men say, goodness me, that was awful. Get out.
How do you know that, Ken? Oh, sorry, the films, yes.
Yeah, that doesn't happen at all. Usually, right, it's the last thing that a woman ever says in films, because they usually pick the wrong guy to tell, because they're usually like a prostitute or someone, and they laugh at a man's penis and they're the murderer. And it turns out that that's why they're the murderer, because women keep laughing at their penis.
Yeah.
Yeah, usually one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Charlie just leaves, doesn't kill her at all.
No, Charlie just sort of runs off, doesn't he?
Yeah, crying about his little penis.
She does finish, as he runs off, she says, see you later, Pee-wee.
Yeah. And he's up, ah, ha, ha.
I'm not sure what the fuck's going on now. It's Jim. Jim's having a dream.
It's a full moon. That's what's going on. There's a bloody full moon out there.
Jim's having a dream of the rest of the band, male members, wearing women's underwear.
Yeah. I thought it was the guy from Silence of the Lambs when the drummer yeah, opens the yeah. door and he's got his women's underwear on, twiddling his little stick.
Yeah. Charlie comes in. It's like fucking Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Yeah, they were just all wearing like bras and knickers.
Knickerbockers.
Yeah, or panties to the American viewers.
Charlie comes in and says, Jim, we're not the bad boys anymore. Now we're the hot chicks. What yeah. the fuck?
Yeah, that film, of course, Hot Chicks, the Wayans brothers.
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, referencing again the future.
That was called White Chicks, but fuck that, right?
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, what was the film called, The Hot Chick?
Robbie Schneider.
Oh, was it? Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Swapping bodies with Rachel McAdams.
That's right, yeah. There's comedy classics, both.
Yeah.
Not seen either of them. Shouldn't think I ever will.
Don't you think it's fabulous, says Paul, appearing from behind Charlie. I'm not sure what he was doing, but the girls, they're in the men's underwear. Can they wear women's underwear and we can't wear men's?
I thought they were dressed as cheerleaders.
One of them has got like a base, like a...
Yeah, so I don't know, you know, whatever.
A great line, Jim says, Sally, you're wearing my Fruit of the Loom.
Yeah, a little advert there.
And she says, no shitting, Sherlock. I think that's it.
She was just warning him
yeah.
not to, because he's yeah. just started to curl one off.
Yeah, that's the sign that's at my local swimming pool.
Yeah, it's a filthy tramp.
Yeah,
that's what that sign is for. It's in the corner going, oh.
It's a Sherlock Holmes-based swimming baths.
Is at the elementary school.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
They gather around the dinner table, still in the dream. They have a quick bit of banter about tits and boning. They lift the centerpiece up to reveal Tim's head on a platter.
Yeah, he says, yeah, they say, hey, where's Tim? Yeah, and he's like, hey, that's not funny.
And Tim's head just vomits all over Jim.
Yeah, which wakes him up.
There is absolutely no point in that dream. It doesn't give us any advancement of plot.
No, it was just so all the men could wear women's underwear, I'm guessing.
The director.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Now we know about him.
Yeah. He wakes up anyway and he heads back outside. This whole film. Every time you cut to Jim from the moment he gets to the farm, he's either shouting at people or running outside.
The reason he keeps running outside is because that's when the attacks happen and we're supposed to think, it probably is Jim.
Yeah.
That's it. It's a Scooby-Doo plot.
Yeah.
This whole film is Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, Jim's turning into a werewolf. And
they're running around, killing people, and then running back, and no one notices.
Yeah, like Cluedo.
I thought if you turn into a werewolf, then it's like the whole night, isn't it?
Yeah.
You can't just turn back and forth.
No, especially during the full moon.
Yeah. You've got no control. Anyway, whatever.
We got the drummer and Paul. They're dying now anyway. We get more shit banter. They mentioned Friday the 13th.
Shit for Friday the 13th. Talk about the music of Friday the 13th.
We get a little sort of rendition of the music that our Martin's got in there.
Yeah. Well, probably because he was in it, I guess. They do mention it, you know, and say that the music is a millionaire, whoever wrote the music.
They reach the ranger station. It's empty. They have a look around in the dark a bit. Paul fucks off.
The best thing they could do now is split up.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says, you go and have a look in the cabin, in the ranger station, and I'll just go over there.
Yeah.
To a lake.
Yeah, there's nothing else here, but I'm going to go over there.
Yeah, I'm just going to walk over that bit.
He finds a walkie-talkie, gets in touch with the guys at the farm. Didn't know they had a walkie-talkie. Well, there you go.
I thought that's what they went to get the CB, didn't they? Didn't they say there's a CB at the van?
Yeah, well, I think...
They never went back, did they? Got killed on the way there. So
yeah.
What the fuck are they talking about?
I think the CB is like, you know, in, you know, like a 10-4 rubber dick, you know, that sort of shit.
Oh, yeah. That's the same thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess so,
Remember
yeah.
when you used to say things like that, yeah, on the CB?
Yeah. What shift am I working? Yeah. That's my reply.
Yeah, yeah. Rubber dick, come in. Come in, rubber dick.
They find a walkie-talkie, get in touch with the guys at the farm, as I say, and then we get werewolf POV heading towards the ranger station.
There is a little bit of a Star Trek reference as well.
Oh.
Charlie joins in. Yes, affirmative captain or some bollocks.
The drummer's the first one to get attacked. The guys at the farm can hear it over the handset, even though the handset's just on the side. No one's pressing the speak button on it.
Yeah, I thought that was a bit odd, but still. It's because the phones don't work, so it's the next best thing, isn't it?
Charlie loses it at this point. He says it can't be. There's no such thing as vampires and werewolves.
Yeah, he just shouts it. It can't be!
Got a question. Why do they keep mentioning vampires?
I don't know. I think because he's staked through the heart. That's the only connection to a vampire. There is no vampire. But he did kill him as if he was a vampire. And, don't know.
But now all these are werewolf attacks and he still thinks it's the vampire grandpa.
Yeah, no such thing.
Meanwhile, Paul and his bat, they turn back up.
His baseball bat, not a vampire bat.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a pet bat as a sidekick.
Yeah, he just fucks off in the first minute. You never see it again. Yeah. Useless pets.
Yeah. Yeah, just lets it out and it fucks off. Music hits as we watch this gimp running through in the woods for a bit. Charlie seems up.
It is. I've written it. It's a punk rock chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lots of falling over. No one can run in this film.
Charlie can. He's like, I'm coming, Paul.
Yeah, he seems upset at the thought of Paul being alone in the woods. He doesn't have to worry long, though, because the werewolf attacks Paul pretty much instantly.
Yeah.
Lands on him from above. Paul doesn't use his baseball bat even once. And that's pretty much the end of Paul.
A baseball bat is no use when attacked by a wolf from above.
That's true.
It's a common misconception. Yeah. People do think it is. It is not. I'm here to tell you that now, people.
That's the disclaimer on the packaging when you buy a brand new baseball bat.
Yeah, I read it. I'm the reason it's on there. Yeah, because I complained when I was attacked by a wolf from above.
Jim rocks up with a rifle, shoots a light out for some reason.
Oh great, now Jim's got a fucking gun. The insane bastard. Remember, of course, that Jim's already killed. He's already killed a man. Still, he's got a rifle now, so that's all good.
He tells the gang that he needs silver bullets for it to kill the werewolf.
Yeah, and then he just fucks off to look for some silver. Tina wants to leave, which again is reasonable. Sally, quite unreasonably, says, no, he's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's now looking for silver to put in a rifle so he can kill a werewolf.
This is absolutely unacceptable from Sally.
But he's fine. He's okay. Don't worry about it.
It's unacceptable from... I mean, Jim's turned into Stingray from Undefeatable now. Sally is one steak dinner away from being molested by Jim over the fucking coffee table.
Yeah, well, he made a lovely song. So, you know, he's a caring human man.
Charlie, it turns out, for some reason, went on his own to search for Paul. And with a POV shot it's just given us, it surely means it actually isn't Jim who's the werewolf, as he's still at the farm before the cutaway. Charlie finds Paul.
He's not dead.
No, he's probably been in better states.
Yeah. He didn't last long, obviously.
No, he's got his fucking arm ripped off. Some high-quality special effects on show here. Little cut above his head.
He does...
not above his head, on his head.
Cut above the rest. Yeah, he gets to tell Charlie that Jim was right. It was a wolf.
Yeah.
And then he dies instantly.
He does. He dies in Charlie's arms, and Charlie reacts like he's just lost a friend in Vietnam or something. Yeah.
What? He shouts at the moon. Yeah, that's the most emotions ever in this film. Yeah. Charlie, isn't it? Yeah, he really loved Paul, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah, he told him that we need you. He told him he can't be. He's just very, very emotional all of a sudden after we thought he was potentially an android at the beginning.
That's true. I mean, I don't actually remember him ever speaking to Paul until the last 2 minutes of this film, but yeah.
Yeah, but why?
Tina's had enough of Jim shooting the place up, and she's heading out.
Yeah, he keeps coming back in, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah, asking for silver.
Demanding silver. Yeah, fucking idiot.
Sally's staying because she loves Jim so much. She tells Tina to be careful, and she says, "Don't worry, there's not a man or wolf that can outsmart me."
Yeah. Wait till you hear what her plan is.
Fucking unbelievable. Charlie, he runs around the woods a bit more.
He's got the baseball bat now.
Yeah, he falls over in front of the wolf, tries hitting it with the bat.
Yeah, he falls over nothing, of course.
Meanwhile, I thought Jim was doing heroin. You just see a spoon being lit from beneath.
Yeah, when Charlie, he falls, he looks up at the werewolf who stood there, probably looking at his dick. Isn't he?
I would have thought so.
He's got a werewolf's a little cockle-shell bay sticking out there looking at him.
Yeah, little furry beanbag right there.
Please wake up.
Yeah, tickles his fancy. Yeah, he tries to hit him with a baseball bat and the wolf catches it. You know,
yeah, one-handed.
Like martial arts.
Yeah, like Seagal.
Martial arts werewolf. That's a film.
Yeah, it is a film, yeah. And I was like, so Jim's doing heroin, but no, he's actually making silver bullets. How the fuck does he know how to do that?
Because Grandma's got a little smelting set, hasn't she, for bullet making.
Grandma's smelting set.
Yeah, she was a drummer who also used to make her own ammunition for her firearms that she kept around the house.
Typical American grandma.
Yeah, American grandma. That's another film.
That was one of yours, one of your early ones.
One of my movies, yeah.
Yeah. And this is the note. I said, did I miss something? Why the fuck is Tina in a well?
Yeah, but Tina is inexplicably in a well.
Why?
She's hiding in a well.
We don't see her from when she says, "I'm too smart for man or beast."
Yeah, and that's her plan.
Her plan is to
lower herself into a well and just stay there until presumably dead.
Jim and Sally find her instantly and tell her to come up and join them.
That's because they say, look, hang on a minute, let's have a drink of water. Yes, let's use the water from this well.
Yeah.
And it's like, hang on, what the fuck is this? Hang on a minute, Tina's in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then she says, I'm staying here till day. I'll be okay, you'll see. And they go, okay, then see you, bye.
And as soon as they leave, someone pours gasoline down onto her head and lights a match above her. And rather than scream or attempt to use the water down there to rinse it off or, you know, try and climb out, she instead just whispers, how the hell can a wolf light a match?
Oh, I thought that was just me saying it. I must have said it out loud at the same time she did.
We get a shit explosion effect that James Nguyen would have been proud of.
Oh, it is poor, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and I guess Tina blows up. I mean, the explosion happens, and then the actual well you can see through the explosion is just still stationary and totally fine.
It was 1988, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know.
There weren't explosions until at least the
90s. No, I mean the special effects.
Yeah.
I know they could have actually blown the well up. But
yeah. Well, they do in Leprechaun, don't they?
Grandma wouldn't or do be very they? Happy, would she?
Can't remember. They do, don't they? Blow the fucking...
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. We get Charlie running again, falls again. This time it's Sally and Jim who finds him. Charlie tells them that Jim was right all along.
Yeah, he's carrying a merkin with him, isn't he, Charlie? he's torn off Paul's merkin. Or
Paul Merkin. Was that his last name, was it?
Yeah, or it was the werewolves. He's got his little beanbag with him. He's brought his furry beanbag.
You remember Jim, Ken, who's been talking about werewolves and making silver bullets for 95% of the film?
Yeah.
Well, he says there's no such thing as werewolves.
Yeah, it's not a werewolf.
What?
It's a man. And that's because, whilst they've been talking, Jim's been sniffing the furry beanbag quite intently, right in his face, solidly, like a pervert sniffs some
been
underwear.
Running it along his tongue. And gargling it in his mouth.
Yeah. And he says, have you lost your mind?
Yeah, he says, I saw it. Paul had his fucking arm ripped off.
Yeah.
Trust me, it's a wolf. Jim says, it's a man who wants us to think he's a wolf.
Yes, that makes sense.
You see, Ken, what happened was, Charlie fell in front of the wolf, grasping a bit of its fur. But it turns out that the fur has a label on it.
What?
It's fake fur made in Hong Kong.
Bloody Hong Kong.
So a bloke has been out there taking the heads clean off people with one strike, lifting people off the floor with one arm, ripping arms off and stomping baseball bat attacks with one hand, just stopping them instantly.
Mm-hmm. That's so you think it's a wolf, you see?
Yeah.
Because that's the sort of thing wolves do.
Yeah, well, if you think that's elaborate, wait till later. But Jim wants to make it one versus one, him versus the guy dressed as a werewolf.
I like that Charlie says, we've got to keep our heads, which is usually the sort of unusual like phrasing to mean someone else is going to have their head cut off.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't happen. I was quite disappointed. I thought that is the same sort of thing that people usually say, isn't it?
Except Tim at the beginning.
Yeah, that's what I mean, though. Yeah, but that's already happened.
It's just a little dig at Tim. He obviously hated him.
Well, you know, he was with Tina.
Charlie, however, does convince Jim that's fucking stupid, and Jim agrees. Jim tells him that he has a new plan. Now, if you remember the last time he said that, six of his mates died. But fuck it, let's see what the kid has in mind.
Yeah, it's a good old plan, isn't it? The plan is Sally's to go to the ranger station shouting, Ranger! Ranger!
On her own.
Yeah, whilst Charlie hides, but is incessant noise making. Like, he's like, you're supposed to be quiet, Charlie. The point is you're hiding so you can jump out because he's got the gun, you see.
This is straight out of the Blood Debt's playbook, isn't it, this? Just let the woman do it and the guy just stands way back.
Yeah, but he's got the baseball bat, sorry, hasn't he, Charlie? He's got the baseball bat, which he just keeps tapping on a tree.
Yeah.
Now, if you watch Finding Bigfoot, you will know that tapping on trees and making that sort of noise is exactly what attracts Sasquatch.
My God, and is it Sasquatch?
No, this is a werewolf.
Oh.
He stood right behind Charlie. I don't know where he ripped the fur from, because you don't see a little bald patch, do you?
The wolf, he does turn up and attack Charlie. He runs to protect Sally. And as the wolf is about to attack them both, Jim jumps out and gets the wolf's attention, shoots him twice in the chest.
He says, make my day.
He does.
He does. I hated that bit.
I wish this happened in Cool Cat. Exactly the same scene.
And I love you too. And I'm Cool Cat, and I love all kids.
It turns out that it's Dirk.
Dirk?
Yeah, the disabled guy from the beginning.
Whoa!
Dirk's made quite an elaborate costume here, Ken.
He has, yeah.
He's got a metal skeleton underneath.
An exoskeleton.
For extreme strength and maneuverability. Not only that, but he's got razor blade claws on the end of his fingers.
He has, yeah.
That'll cut you apart in seconds, says Charlie. Why would a madman do such a thing? And we hear someone say, a madman.
Out of the shadows steps Troy Donahue as Uncle Gary.
It was his plan all along. Money, you simple twit, he calls Jim.
Oh, he's very harsh, isn't he?
It turns out that the farm is worth absolutely fuck all, but the oil underneath it is worth millions.
Millions, do you hear?
Why did you have Dirk dress up as a wolf, says Jim. So fair enough.
It is a good question, isn't it?
And not according to Uncle Gary, who says, you nitwit. God, you're so stupid, I can't believe you're my nephew.
He's very harsh, isn't he?
See, the plan was, Ken...
Go on, Uncle Gary, enlighten us.
The plan was to kill the whole band and all of the friends and the groupies, so it just left Jim. He would have told authorities that it was a werewolf. You see yeah. Where I'm going?
That's right, yeah, but they would have laughed in his face and probably locked him away.
The best part is when they eventually would get around to investigating it, they'd find out that Jim killed his grandfather for being a vampire.
Yeah, so they'd be like, uh-oh, this guy's loco.
Yeah. He says, basically, Jim goes to the nut house and old Uncle Gary gets the farm. It's so simple, he says.
Classic Scooby-Doo villain.
Charlie reminds him that his plan backfired and Uncle Gary tells him he's going to have to come up with a new plan, which includes, unfortunately, shooting them all, including Jim. But he does say sorry to Jim for it.
Yeah, well, you know. It's quite nice. It's his uncle, isn't he?
Charlie gets down on his knees, begging for his life. And
Who would like take the rap for this then? Still going to be Jim?
He's doing it on the fly now, isn't he?
Yeah, but is he going to like frame Jim for that?
The corpse of his nephew or his son,
Dirk.
Yeah,
poor old dead Dirk.
It's absolute. What the fuck is that plan?
It's
ridiculously elaborate.
Textbook plan.
Jesus Christ!
Why don't you just ask?
Yeah.
Jim ain't fucking been there for 10 years. He's not interested in a bloody farm.
Yeah, why wait until they're at the farm to kill them all? Just put a fucking hose pipe into the garage whilst they're dicking about. Attach it to the back of your car. They're all dead in fucking minutes.
Yeah, could have done, yeah.
Not this bollocks. Mind you, no one would pay to watch that. Mind you, I would have by the time this film ended.
Where's Jim's parents?
Oh.
Where are they?
Dead.
How? So what, well, he lives in the house on his own?
They went to the farm once to just have a look about and got
killed by a werewolf.
Yeah.
Why'd you have Dirk dress up like a wolf? You nitwit! You are so stupid! I can't believe you're my nephew!
Yeah, he gets down on his knees, begging for his life, Charlie, and Uncle Gary promises to shoot him last now because he asked so nicely. But it was all a cunning plan by Charlie, you see, to lure Uncle Gary into showing him his crotch.
Yeah, which he does.
And Charlie gives him a swift uppercut to the happy sacks, and Jim shoots him in the fucking chest twice with a rifle.
With the line, fuck you, Uncle Gary.
It's a great line.
It is a good line. That's the kind of thing you can have on a t-shirt, isn't it?
Yeah.
For family events.
Yeah.
Obviously, Uncle Gary would be like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, if you haven't got Uncle Gary, it's pointless, but...
You could all have one.
Let's hear Jim say
everybody
it.
Except Uncle Gary's got a t-shirt that
you
know, says...
he does as well. Jim, give us that line for us, will
you? Fuck you, Uncle Gary.
Absolutely perfect delivery. As he's lying there with two bullet holes in his heart, he tells Jim that he's dying, and Jim says...
Yeah, well, he is, isn't he?
Well, Jim says, you'll be okay. We're getting you an ambulance.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're 4 days away from the road, so in about a week it'll turn up.
Uncle Gary gets a last-minute second wind and grabs Jim, screaming he'll be back for him, and then abruptly dies.
Yeah, he gives us a laugh as well, doesn't he?
Yeah. Right,
as he's there dying. He's quality end for Uncle Jim. Uncle Gary, not Uncle Jim.
I'll be back! Hell, if I have to, I'll be back for you!
He's dead.
What a sick son of a bitch.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't believe that come back from hell stuff, did you?
No, of course not. I don't believe in vampires, werewolves, or ghosts.
Cue the wolf howling.
Little howl, yeah.
The gang look around nervously.
Zoinks!
Cue the credits and the end of the bastard film.
Thank goodness for that. What an unusual film. It's like a lost, I was going to say, it's not a lost gem, is it?
No.
It's a lost piece of shit.
Wow, you've really sold it. Yes, you're right. It is a lost piece of shit.
Yeah, there we go then.
It's got, it had the potential to be almost Miami Connection worthy with the songs, but there was only two of them really. Sally's song was a slow drab affair.
It's pretty sexy though.
Yeah.
To get the ladies in the mood.
As I say, I don't know what this was aimed at because there was no gore to speak of. You didn't see any of the deaths.
No.
But there was a lot of talk of sex and hand jobs.
It's, yeah. And it's a, it is a Scooby-Doo film, isn't it?
It is. It's almost like a child's, like, yeah, Scooby-Doo film, but with lots of sex talk in it and swearing.
Mm.
No likable characters, no attractive people, except for Tina.
Charlie. Charlie was. He was a good-looking guy.
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, if you're into the whole robotic Peter look. With an absolutely ridiculous ending, and reasoning for the whole thing is absolutely mental. That plan by Uncle Gary is the fucking most ridiculous plan to get some land given to him I've ever heard in my life. He could have probably asked Jim.
That's what I mean. If only just say, you know that, you know the place, yeah, you know Grandma's place. You do want it,
yeah. How about I give you a house in town and I have the farm and just do that? Why try and kill 9 people using your disabled son?
I'm not sure Dirk was disabled. I think he was just an idiot. So there. Do you know Troy Donahue as Uncle Gary was in The Godfather 2?
Was he Uncle Gary in that as well?
He certainly was.
He's in that in every film he's done.
Yeah, he was called Merry Johnson. No, it's Merle. It's not an I, it's an L.
All right.
Merle Johnson.
It's like a happy penis.
He was also in a film called Cockfighter.
You know the guy that played Charlie founded like a fitness place in LA and did all the...
Did he? Well, I say, when he took his shirt off, he was a pretty fit-looking guy, wasn't he?
Yeah, he got like Brad Pitt into shape for Troy. He got a load of actors into shape for like films, and then died at the age of about late 40s, I think, from cancer.
Bloody hell.
So, I mean, it's a sad tale, but it doesn't excuse him.
It's arguably more interesting than the film we've just watched and discussed.
I can't forgive him for this. I'm sorry, Charlie.
No, I think it may sound harsh, but if the more you look at it, I think it's entirely fair.
Yeah, but he didn't have to sit through it, Ken. Yeah, that's the thing. He just had to be in it.
I don't think anyone who's in this film's ever seen it.
I don't think anyone who's listened to this podcast will ever see it either, except for the Sangster, probably.
She better do. I've named and shamed her.
So what now? Should we just fucking end this one or what? Anything else you want to say?
It's on YouTube. Go and watch it.
Oh, this?
Yeah, get yourself watching this. It's like 83 minutes. Hardly blink and it's gone.
Just skip through to the songs. They're the only good bit about this load of shit.
Punk rock. When me and my friends were in a band, we never went off to Grandma's house to rehearse. We went to my friend's house every time. His mum used to come in and ask us if we wanted some food and some drinks.
So what was the band called?
Helmets Galore. Three albums and a best of with unreleased footage, unreleased tracks.
What were the albums called?
The first one was just called Grrr.
Nice.
Yeah. The second one, the difficult second album, was called Oblong Things. And the third one was Peanuts for All. Yeah, three cracking albums, they really were.
Yeah.
The fourth one, it was going to be titled Carpeted Garage, but we never got that far.
No.
No, it's a shame, really.
But if what were they called?
Bad Boys.
Oh, God. If the Bad Boys released an album with those four songs in it they did in this film, what would the album be called? Would it just be self-titled, or would it be called Grandma's Farm?
Yeah.
Would it be called Uncle Gary?
Fuck you, Uncle Gary, it would be called.
And on that note, let's bring this podcast to a close. Thank you for coming and joining us for this film. There's no way you'd have seen it, so you've literally come just to hear us talk about it, which is very much appreciated.
Yeah, and it's probably saved you the time, because surely it's not as long as the film, what we've been discussing.
No, and surely it's more entertaining than watching the film.
Well, I'm not too sure about that.
Thank you, as always, to my co-host, Kenby Wilde.
Thank you. I'm glad I brought this to the table.
Yeah. as Ken said, if you want to watch this, it is on YouTube. And if you do watch it, let us know. We can contact us through Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or on all the socials. Just search Bad Movie Cult. You can talk about it in the Facebook discussion group. Just search Bad Movie Cult discussion group on Facebook. All links will be available in the show notes. Or alternatively, you can email us. Email address is badmoviecult@gmail.com. If you want to support the podcast even more than you're doing now by just listening and just being you, you can by simply leaving us an Apple Podcast rating or review. You can also do that on Spotify. You can log on to our YouTube channel, drop us a like and a subscribe there. All good things, and it all helps us get found by new listeners, which is the biggest help you can give to us as a new podcast or a fledgling podcast.
You could give us some money.
Or you could give us some money, yes.
That is available, actually, if you want to give us money. You know, I'm not saying we'll spend it on anything good or anything like that you would approve of, but you can on good pods. We've got a tips jar.
I'm going to get a at-home smelting kit.
I'm going to get myself a werewolf suit from Hong Kong.
I'm going to get a werewolf merkin.
Also from Hong Kong. You get anything from there.
You can find all previous episodes.
Hey, where did you get that werewolf merkin?
It has a strange odor about it.
I hope you don't mind whilst you're wearing it if I quickly sniff it. God damn it, Jim.
You can find all previous episodes as well as written reviews of films not covered on the podcast on our website. That's www.badmoviecult.com. Join us again next week. We're going to be back with a full one next week. We'll have a film pitch as well on that one. So that's something to look forward to, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've thrown a couple of ideas in this one.
Yeah.
For films that we've not yet endeavoured to investigate.
Will they be in it next week? Who knows? Join us and find out.
I'll have to listen to this again because I can't remember what we said. See ya.
See ya, everybody. Thank you for joining us.
Bye. It's not a secret. You're going to reap it. The seed's been planted. And in time it's going to tell you. It's going to tell on you. The seed's been planted. It's going to tell on you. Oh. You nitwit. You are so stupid. I can't believe you're my nephew. Fuck you, Uncle Gary.